third vision of the book of Revelation, chapter 8, which is a horrific, horrific chapter, and the third vision spans chapters 8, 9, 10, and 11. And the first great question that springs to sight here, to mind, is the silence in heaven for the space of half an hour with which this vision opens. Some have thought that it was rather silly speaking about half an hour in heaven, because in heaven there is no time. There are no clocks, there are no yesterdays, there are no tomorrows, there is no past, there is no future, there is only now. So how can there be silence for the space of half an hour? And the general suggestion by scholars is that this silence in heaven is a rich silence. And it's a silence with various strata of meaning. There are several suggestions as to what the silence holds. The most obvious suggestion, of course, is that this is the silence of worship, and that all the activity in heaven has ceased, and that the angels, men, living creatures, and all the heavenly creation is now bowing in the silence of worship before God. That's the first suggestion. And it's a very plausible suggestion, because in the Old Testament particularly, silence is regarded as one of the highest forms of worship. The prophet Habakkuk puts it very succinctly when he says, God is in his holy temple, let the whole earth keep silence before him. And there is nothing more pregnant with meaning, and nothing more full of significance and spiritual worth than the silence of true worship. I think that David in the 40th Psalm also captures this flavor of worship when he says, be still and know that I am God. Be still and know. Actually, the Hebrew would be just as well translated, keep quiet and know that I am God. Or it's best translated by the Scotch, hod your wisht and know that I am God. And that is the silence of worship. The suggestion is also made that this is a silence of preparation, because in fact God is now preparing for the last judgment, because the seven trumpets of warning sound and sweep right through to the pouring out of the seven bowls of the wrath of God, and that heads right up for the second coming of Jesus Christ and the last judgment. This thing is whistling. Switch it. Seven trumpets of warning, they are warning judgments, sound and they sweep on the brass band of God, and they reach their climax in the seven bowls of the wrath of God, and they reach their climax in the resurrection and the last judgment and the second coming of Christ. So the suggestion is that this silence in heaven is the silence that you find if you go an electric power station. It's wonderful how quiet dynamos can be. You can go into a power station that is manufacturing millions of watts and can keep a whole district going in electricity, light, and all kinds of power. And the most that you hear in the power station is a quiet hum as the machinery works and you see it's fulfilling its function. Although there is this tremendous reserve of power, it's associated with quietness. And some scholars suggest that this quietness in heaven is that kind of quietness, the quietness that you find in a dining room. There's not much noise, but there's a lot happening. Now you see, the Bible does teach that the silences of God never mean inactivity. When you think that God's doing nothing, never more busy. The silences of God are always pregnant with life and with purpose. And the suggestion is that it's that kind of silence here. Some scholars suggest that it is the silence of horror, because the living creatures in heaven, elders, the angels, they see what is about to hit the earth, and they reel back, and they are struck dumb because they are so shocked by what is about to happen to God's creation. There is another suggestion that this silence is an evidence of God's patience, because the Bible teaches that God is not willing that any should perish. Hell was not made for men. It was made for the devil and all his angels. And it is not the will or the pleasure of God that men should be lost and go to hell. So he waits. He holds back the judgment because his long suffering is a sign that he wants men to be saved. But perhaps the best suggestion is that this silence is the silence of expectation. Ever watched children's faces at a bonfire? Just before father lets off the fireworks, the squibs, and the rockets, in the light of the fire, watch the children's eyes. Their faces are alive with excitement, and they can hardly say anything, because they're waiting for their father to make the next move. Now, it's interesting that this silence or expectation is associated with the prayers of the saints. I wonder if you noticed, look at the scriptures, that John goes on to, after the silence, John goes on to speak about prayer in verse 3. And another angel came. Now, some people think that other angel is Christ. Another angel came and stood at the altar with a golden censer. He was given much incense to mingle with the prayers of all the saints. And the idea is this, that as we pray, our imperfect words go up to heaven, and our prayers, broken, stumbling, weak, fumbling, full of the wrong adjectives, full of sentences without verbs. Go up to heaven. But the incense of our prayers is mingled with the incense of Christ's prayers. The other angel comes and he mixes his incense with our incense. So the prayers of Christ and the prayers of the saints rise up together before the throne of God and are heard by our Father. Now that seems to be the suggestion in verse 3, if you look at it. And another angel came and stood at the altar with a golden censer. And he was given much incense to mingle with the prayers of all the saints up on the golden altar before the throne. And the smoke of the incense rose with the prayers of the saints from the hand of the angel before God. Now the suggestion is that that's Christ, you see. And he takes our broken prayers and our feeble, stumbling, incompetent words, and he sweetens them with his own prayers and makes them acceptable to God. And the answer to these prayers you find in verse 5. Then the angel took the censer and filled it with fire from the altar and threw it on the earth. And there were peals of thunder, loud noises, flashes of lightning, and an earthquake. Now, Professor Tom Torrance brings this out magnificently in his commentary on the Revelation, where he says that the judgments that come upon the earth, that the fire from heaven that comes down on the earth and scorches men is an answer to the prayers of the saints. When Christians pray, fire comes down from God. Listen to these magnificent words by Tom Torrance. What are the real master powers behind the world? And what are the deeper secrets of our destiny? Here is the astonishing answer. The prayers of the saints and the fire of God. Isn't that marvelous? Oh, why don't you pray when this is the case? The prayers of the saints and the fire of God. This means that more potent and more powerful than all the dark and mighty powers let loose in the world, more powerful than anything else, is the power of prayer set ablaze by the fire of God and cast upon the earth. So you see, these disasters and these catastrophes in chapter 8 are the answers to prayers of God's children. One of the students in my year at college used to say, prayer pulls the rope and rings a bell in heaven. That's what happens when you pray, however feebly, however imperfectly, however never ungrateful. A bell in heaven. God sends fire on the earth. Oh, Christian, why is your life so prayerless? Why is it so prayerless? Other earths and the moons, the stars and the planets, and the whole universe will just turn to ashes in this apocalyptic holocaust. Now, there's much to suggest that in this chapter. If you look at verse 7, it says, "The first angel blew his trumpet, and there followed hail and fire mixed with blood, which fell on the earth." Now look at this. A third of the earth was burned up. Now, if you follow the course of the war in Vietnam, Americans spray the jungles and fields with herbicides, special chemicals which kill vegetation. And this is now a very fine art. They have herbicides which are selective. For example, they have a herbicide which kills rice but doesn't kill grass. They have another herbicide which kills grass but doesn't kill wheat. And they can select what vegetation they want destroyed. And in some of the accounts of the American war in Vietnam, there were the most appalling pictures of the effects of this herbicide war. And thousands of acres were just absolute ruins. You saw trees without leaves. You saw fields without grass. You saw paddy fields without a blade of rice, a straw, no rice growing, because the herbicides had destroyed all the living material. Now verse 7 seems to be a description of that. Read it again. The first angel blew his trumpet, and there followed hail and fire mixed with blood which fell on the earth. A third of the earth was burnt up, and a third of the trees were burnt up, and all green grass was burnt up. And you see how contemporary this is. This is bang up to date. If you look at verse 8, you'll see that the second judgment has to do with marine life. The sea vexes the sea. Second angel blew his trumpet, verse 8, and something like a great mountain burning with fire was thrown into the sea. Now think of the underwater nuclear explosions. You've seen films of nuclear bombs being detonated at the bottom of the sea, and how out of this calm sea this awful Hiroshima mushroom cloud comes, flaming and blazing from the bottom of the sea. Verse 8. The second angel blew his trumpet, and something like a great mountain burning with fire was thrown into the sea, and a third of the sea became blood to kill all the living things. A third of the living creatures in the sea died. Think of the stories of how Japanese fishermen coming home from the fishing grounds radioactive, because the fish they've caught have travelled in the sea from the Pacific atolls where the Americans have been detonating their bombs, and the fish are radioactive, and the seamen have come home to their families radioactive. The metal fillings in their teeth have become radioactive. They develop mouth ulcers and liver disease. They die because of the judgment of the sea. Did you read the article in the press the other day which says that fish in the Mediterranean are now becoming almost inedible because there is so much industrial waste being pumped into the Mediterranean that in the south of France particularly, some of the fish now have four times the proper amount of mercury that the human system can stand. You see, if the human body takes mercury, it develops mercury poisoning, which is a very serious thing. And the doctors have discovered in the south of France, many people were taking mercury poisoning, and they couldn't understand where it was coming from. there's a judgment on the sea. The second angel blew his trumpet, and something like a great mountain burning with fire was thrown into the sea, and a third of the sea became blood. A third of the living creatures in the sea died, and a third of the ships were destroyed. You see how contemplative this all is. Look at verse 10. You notice that the judgment in verse 10 is on the rivers and the fountains. Some of the scholars suggest that this is a parabolic way of teaching how man's thought life has become corrupted by Satan. You see, wormwood is Satan. In verse 11, the great star that falls from heaven, the name of the star is wormwood. And some of the scholars suggest that the fountains and the rivers here are symbols of human philosophies, human teaching. Now, you remember how a few Sundays ago I told you where today's troubles began? It began with Hitler. Hitler sat at the feet of Kaiser, the first Kaiser. Kaiser sat at the feet of Bismarck. And Bismarck sat at the feet of Hegel. And Hegel, last century, sat at the feet of two heretics who challenged Jesus Christ to the authority of his word, Schleiermacher and Ritschl. I expect you to remember these great names. But I want you to see that the philosophies which are destroying our world today are philosophies that have at their fountainhead poison introduced by the devil. Verse 10. The third angel blew his trumpet, and a great star, this is Satan, fell from heaven, blazing like a torch, and it fell on a third of the rivers and on the fountains of water. Think of that as human thinking. A third of the rivers and on the fountains of water. Verse 11. The name of the star is wormwood, the devil. A third of the waters became wormwood. They've been poisoned by him. And many men died of the water. 6 million Jews, 20 million Russians under Stalin, most of them his friends. Where did Stalin learn his stuff from? Lenin. Where did Lenin learn his stuff from? Karl Marx. Where did Karl Marx learn his stuff from? Hegel. Where did he learn his stuff from? Schleiermacher and Ritschl. Those two men. Chapter 9 of the demonization of mankind. And that's the meaning of history since the turn of this century. There is no other explanation for the course of this world since the turn of this century other than the demonization. demonization of mankind. Chapter 9 and verse 1. And the fifth angel blew his trumpet, and I saw a star. Here he is again, you see. Lucifer, we'll look at this next week, fallen from heaven to earth, and he was given the key of the shaft of the bottomless pit. He's in charge of the grave. He opened the shaft of the bottomless pit that goes down to hell, and from the shaft rose smoke like the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened with the smoke from the shaft of hell. Then from the smoke came locusts. These are the demons. See this next? This is not fancy. This is not my imagination running riot. This is fact. Three. Then from the smoke came locusts on the earth, and they were given power. How often do you read that in Revelation? Given power. One scholar says that that's the meaning of the book of Revelation. Certain persons are given power, like the power of scorpions of the earth. They were told not to harm the grass of the earth or any green growth or any tree, but only those of mankind who have not the seal of God upon their foreheads. Judge the godless. They were allowed to torture them for 5 months, but not to kill them. Demonic, you see. And their torture was like the torture of a scorpion when it stings a man. And in those days, oh how awful, men will seek death, will not find it. They will long to die, and death will fly from them. Look at these demonic horns. What pictures. In appearance, the locusts were like horses arrayed for battle. On their heads were what looked like crowns of gold. Their faces were like human faces. Their hair like women's hair. Their teeth like lion's teeth. They had scales like iron breastplates, and the noise of their wings was like the noise of many chariots with horses rushing into battle. They have tails like scorpions and stings, and their power of hurting men for 5 months lies in their tails. They have a king over them. The angel of the bottomless pit, his name in Hebrew is Abaddon, which means destruction. And in Greek, he is called Apollyon, which means destruction. First woe has passed. Behold, two woes are still to come. So that's what these trumpets are. Warning, judgments, summonses to men to repent. This is an act. I think this is just a performance. Muslims there with their filthy mosques. ever will have a minister? Did you know that half the ministers of the Church of Scotland tonight are over 60 years of age, and that in 10 years' time they'll all have reached the age of 70 and will have retired? But in 10 years' time there will only be half the number of ministers left. I tell you, God's brass band is out in the world today, and the trumpets, the warning trumpets of God, sounding. Now you may have hated this. As much as I hated preaching. But it is not God's power to terrify you into paralysis. God wants to bring you to salvation. A divinity student in Aberdeen once said to me, "What I like about God is this. After all the smoke of battle has cleared, he offers you a choice. For me or against me. Can you hear or can't you hear? With me? Forsooth. Some of you will be going on holidays this year. Watch the telly. Banks are just newly opened. Hammers and sickles and red stars plastered all over them. Just across the channel. I tell you, God is speaking. God is speaking to the Church today. Sending once for favored sinners slain. Hymn number 160.